for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 12th Annual Deliverance Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is Tuesday evening, October the 23rd, 2007. Norman Parrish is the speaker of this service, teaching on the root of bitterness. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
Then 8, the loss of health. You can find this in the story of Job. Well, Job lost everything. He lost his family, lost his property, and then he lost his health. The only thing he didn't lose was his wife. It's too bad the devil didn't take her too. Because instead of being encouraging him and strengthening him, what did she say? Oh, curse God and die. Probably she had her eyes set on some young little guy that lived around the neighborhood. Just curse God and die. And how did Job react to misfortune, especially to the loss of health? Because he came down with a disease that was also incurable. It's called in Spanish the mange, like a mangy dog. He had some kind of skin rash. It was something, what do you call that, some allergy. In Spanish, it gives us to understand it was malignant in nature. Sarna maligna, which means a malignant kind of mange. And it was so bad that he had to scratch himself to the point that he wore out his nails, and so he would get a piece of potsherd and it all became infected, and it was a mess. A stinking, rotten mess. Now, how did he react to that? Just listen to this. Job 7:11, I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. That's what we do when we're bitter. We murmur, we complain, we gripe. Who wants to be around a person like that? Job 9:17-18, the Lord filleth me with bitterness. There he was, did the same thing that Naomi did. What? Blame the Lord. Then Job 10:1, I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. When you speak, you embitter yourself with words.
Amen.
Listen, faith is demonstrated in silence. Write that down. Faith is demonstrated in keeping silence when you're under trial. And silence is victory. If we, come into some kind of misfortune, some circumstance that is adverse and doesn't seem to have a solution, the more we talk, the more bitter we become. Amen? We need to keep our trap shut. If we keep our mouth shut, then demons won't crowd into us. Because the same way that demons leave through the mouth, sometimes they enter through the mouth. You understand that? Well, 9, the loss of income or wealth. Ezekiel 27:30-31. Now, how many embittered people do we have here tonight? I seem through the scriptures to be about touching each and every one of us here tonight. Amen? Some of us, or most of us, to some degree or other, have become embittered by the ordeal of life.
Amen.
Things that we cannot control, we have to accept.
Amen.
And acceptance is peace.
That's right. Amen.
That's something else you should write down. In acceptance is peace. We should change everything we can change, but there are certain situations in life that we cannot change. And what are we supposed to do then? Just accept them.
Amen.
Believing that God ultimately will change them. We have to believe what the Word says, that all things will eventually turn together for what? For good. Eventually. Not when we want them to. Eventually. Because God uses those circumstances to change us, and once we change, then He changes the circumstances.
Amen.
Did you get that?
Amen.
God uses circumstances to change us. And once we change, then He changes the circumstances. Now, we want Him to change the circumstances without us changing. That will never happen. In Ezekiel 27:30-31, it says, it's talking about Tyre, the city. Remember, the Phoenicians were great merchants, great navigators. They plied the seas, selling their merchandise. And they became extremely wealthy. But here it says that the people of Tyre shall weep for thee with bitterness of heart. The Tyre was condemned to destruction, and eventually it was destroyed. And the prophet is warning that when that city would be destroyed, you know, wealth will attract many enemies. Why do people hate America? They're envious of America. Amen? They're envious. And they're out to destroy America. And it says that when that wealth was going to be destroyed, would be destroyed, then how would the people react? In bitterness of heart. Tenth, this is the last one I'm going to give of the causes of bitterness. This involvement in the occult. Acts chapter 8. How many read the story of Simon the magician? He was the big honcho around Samaria. I mean, everybody thought he was the great power of God. He was so slick and so sly that he had deceived everybody in town to think that he was God's man of the hour. So here comes Philip, a nobody. Because he wasn't a prophet, he wasn't an apostle, he was just a servant of the church at Jerusalem, a deacon. He began to preach in the power of the Spirit, and people began to get healed and delivered, and great miracles took place. And the whole city was overjoyed, and the whole city turned their heart towards God. And people began to get saved and baptized, and there was a great harvest of souls, and Simon began saw that he was losing his trade. He was losing his clientele. So what did he do? It says that he was baptized also. He pretended to be saved. And so he went through the motions, water baptism. And poor Philip, you know, he was a tremendous man of God, but he didn't have any discernment to discover that this man was an imposter that was infiltrating the church. So God sent down Peter and John, and they began to minister the Holy Ghost, and Simon just showed his true colors. He came to Peter and said, "How much do you want? I want that power." See, these practitioners of the occult science sell their knowledge, and their secrets, secret formulas. And so he tried to bribe Peter. And Peter said, "Thy money perish with thee, for I perceive, I discern in the spirit that thou art in the gall of bitterness." Gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. Bitterness leads to bondage. Amen? Bitterness leads to what? To bondage. Why was Simon bitter? Because he had lost his business. He'd gotten involved in the cult. And I tell you, brethren, you get involved in the horoscope, and you get involved in all this palmistry, and have your tea leaves red, and all this stuff, all this junk, and you're going to become a bitter old man or woman. You will. Mm-hmm. And bitterness leads to bondage. It's right there in Acts 8:23. Gall was what was it? A drug. Remember that when Jesus went to the cross? They wanted to give him what? Vinegar and gall. And he took a sip and he just spit it out. and he refused to drink it because he wanted to go to his death in full consciousness. He didn't want any drug of any kind to come and alter his state of consciousness. It was a drug, very powerful drug, that if taken in large amounts can become even a poison. Amen? So Simon was a bitter man. And Peter said, repent. But there's no evidence that he repented. And probably he was lost eternally because of that. He had an opportunity and he didn't avail himself of it. Because Peter said, repent of this thy wickedness. Perchance God will forgive you. Okay? So we've studied the causes of bitterness. And let us look at a couple consequences. We've talked about that already, but I'd like to turn to Hosea in the Old Testament, chapter 12, verse 14. It says, Ephraim provoked God to anger most bitterly. Ephraim provoked God to anger with bitterness. You can find in the margin some of the Bibles. How does God react when we become bitter? Displeasure? Anger? Is that God angry with us? Because we let things in life embitter us? What's more important to us? Our relationship with God or a little bit of money that we've lost? Our relationship with God or some of the friends that we've had to give up on? See? Bitterness builds a wall between us and God. God is very much displeased when we give more importance to, you know, earthly belongings and earthly friendships than we give to our relationship with Him. We cannot let anything at all get in between us and the Lord and the Lord's people. Amen? We've got to keep a clear channel so the blessing of God can continue to flow into our lives. Amen. Then there's another thing that bitterness does, and I'm going to give you, it's Job 21:25. And another dieth in the bitterness of his soul. Amen. What does bitterness do? Kills. Not only causes disease, but kills. You hold on to your bitterness and you'll die. Amen. And you'll die young. Do you think it's worthwhile? Aren't you willing to give up your bitterness? Amen. And to forgive? Forgive those that have maligned you, those that have betrayed you, those that have abandoned you, those that have exploited you. There's all kinds of people that have done mean things to us. But are we willing to forgive? Forgiveness, true forgiveness, leads to forgetfulness. Amen. If we are every day remembering what they did to us, we haven't forgiven. Not truly forgiven. If every time we see a certain person or hear about that person, and something boils up within us, we haven't forgiven. Not truthfully. And I'll tell you something, forgiveness is not an emotion, it's a decision. If you choose to forgive, those ugly emotions will begin to recede until they disappear. But you have to choose, and not once, daily, until the pain begins to subside and finally disappear. I think that's why God has given us the Comforter. To comfort us and then strengthen us in these situations. But we don't avail ourselves of what Christ has done for us on Calvary. But there in Joshua, in Job, the same verse says, and neither dieth in the bitterness of soul, and never eateth with pleasure. When you're bitter, even your food becomes bitter. You don't enjoy your food. Huh? You can have the best food in the world. I think Americans could enjoy the best food. I mean, I'm not talking about McDonald's and Wendy's. That's junk food. But you could eat well, and you wouldn't have to spend a pile of money to do that. Huh? And you could not only profit from it, you could enjoy eating moderately. Hmm? You getting nervous? But when you're bitter, you don't enjoy life, brother. Not even your... Nothing brings enjoyment. You're just hurting yourself holding on to your bitterness. So you've got to shape up to it. And you've got to recognize that you're bitter. And that's humbling. You know, we disguise our bitterness with a smirk. We fabricated some smile to cover up our bitterness. I mean, we've got to come clean and say, Lord, I'm a bitter old hag. Yes. And I need help. I need your grace. I need your mercy. And face the fact that you are bitter. And confess your bitterness as a very grievous sin in God's sight.
Amen.
And then it asks God not only for forgiveness, but for deliverance. Because there could be some demons lurking down there in the dark recesses of your soul or spirit that are causing you to... See, we only live in this world once, really. And life is short. I don't know if some of you older people have discovered that the older we get, the faster time goes. It just flies by. I can't believe this is October, nearly the end of October. Seemed like January yesterday. At least I'm so busy that my time does not suffice to do everything that I'm supposed to do. Here I am, 75. My goodness, can't believe it. Sometimes Mrs. Pasco was telling me today that some of her grandchildren are now 16, and one just got married, 24. Did you say John's son? Couldn't believe it. These were tykes yesterday. Toddlers. And we're not going to take advantage of this life to do something worthwhile, to leave a mark.
Amen.
Huh? To bless our family, to bless our community, to do something worth living for. Or are we going to just sit around and bemoan our fate, you know? Get sorry for ourselves. I misunderstand. Nobody appreciates me. Nobody loves me. Poor old me. How silly. I'm calling you silly.
Amen.
How many are mad? Well, you got something else to confess then. Not only bitterness, but anger. How many like people to tell you the truth? Even if it hurts a little bit. It's time we faced up to reality. Let's stop living in a world of illusion or delusion. Let's be real people and face the truth of the matter. Now, let's finish tonight reading Ephesians chapter 4. There's a lot more we could talk about this. I'm sure you could preach a better sermon than I could about bitterness and forgiveness. The problem with us is that we've been to so many conferences and we've heard messages on these subjects, but we never do anything about them. Huh? We go home and we say, yeah, he's right, he's right, he's right, and we just turn around and go back to whence we came from. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4. So it's in verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness that leads to wrath and anger and clamor. What is clamor? And evil speaking. Clamor can be murmuring, grumbling. The bitterness leads to anger and to other excesses and abuses. Be put away from you. We are the ones to put it away. We can't ask God to take it away. He says, put it away. With all malice, and then, Here's the positive part. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. See, the consequences of bitterness and the derivatives we've talked about, like anger and strife, etc., are two here in this chapter. One is, we quench the Holy Spirit. There it's in verse 30. With bitterness, we are quenching the Holy Spirit. With anger, we are quenching the Holy Spirit. He's not free to operate in and through us. And the other one is in verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. Once the Holy Spirit is quenched, then Satan finds a wide open door into the inner recesses of our mind and soul. He can infiltrate us. He can invade us. We give place by refusing to forgive. Now let's not play games during this conference. Let's face the truth. Amen?
Amen.
Let's face the truth. And what is the truth? Are we embittered? Let's be honest. And if we're willing to recognize our true spiritual and moral condition, God will forgive. And then He'll deliver. Otherwise, we're just going to leave here exactly like we came. More guilty than ever. Why? Because we will wake up to the fact that we had a chance to get rid of all that garbage. Spew it out of our soul, and we chose to continue because we think we are the victims. We think we have been victimized. It might be true to a measure, but most of the problems that we've had, we have caused.
Yes.
Just like Naomi, she made the wrong decisions. They had tragic consequences, and she blamed God for that. Many times we blame others. We blame our parents, we blame our children, we blame the neighbors, we blame the bosses at the place where we work. And usually we end up ultimately blaming God. Isn't that true? So I think it's time we faced up to the truth of the matter. And if we're willing, the Bible says, he that covereth his sin, Proverbs 20:13, what? Shall not prosper. Neither spiritually nor financially, no way. But he that confesseth, and then what?
Forsaketh.
Gives up. Renounces.
Amen.
Forsakes his sin. This sin of bitterness will experience what? Will find or experience mercy. Amen? How many are willing to do that? Come on, raise your hand. I'm raising mine.
Yes.
There's not one single person here that doesn't need a measure of forgiveness and a measure of deliverance.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen?
That's what God brought you here for. So this is my message tonight. And I think it'd be good if we would just close our eyes and meditate for a moment. It's getting a little late. 9:30, a little bit after 9:30, and this is a captive audience. From here, you'll just go right to bed and get up at a good hour so that you can come and pray if you feel led to do that. Amen. So let's just bow our head and let the Holy Spirit speak to us. Let Him point out some of the things we need to confess and some of the things we need to renounce. If there be any kind of bitterness in our lives for any of the reasons we mentioned and others, let's just say, Lord, I recognize that I have offended you by allowing bitterness to take control of my life. I've been running here and there to this conference, that conference, trying to get something, and I never get anything. Whatever I get, it just seeps out. Doesn't last. I get a little bit here and a little bit there and it's all gone. Could be because we have not faced bitterness as we ought to. Some of us need to forgive our parents. And they might have long passed away. They might be in the other world, in a better in a better place, or who knows, maybe in a worse place. But we need to forgive them. They, I'm sure, did their best they could with their knowledge and with their resources to give us the kind of upbringing. We need to forgive them. We need to forgive our children and our neighbors and our friends. We might need to forgive our pastor because he hasn't understood us, hasn't understood God's dealings with us. I'll tell you, there's one person we need to forgive is forgive ourselves. Amen. For our foolishness. And then we need to forgive God. Doesn't that sound silly? Actually, we need God to forgive us, but some of us need to say, Lord, I forgive you for everything that I've accused you of. I'm sorry that I've accused you wrongfully of things that you never permitted, you never ordained, perhaps even never permitted. I've accused you wrongfully for things that have happened. Forgive me, please, Lord. Let's forgive tonight and keep on forgiving. The Bible says if we confess our sin, He is what? Faithful, just, to forgive and to wash us with the blood of Jesus Christ. He wants to cleanse us, and then He wants to deliver us from the evil influences, let's call them demons, that have entered our lives because of our wrong attitudes towards God and towards people. Are you doing that tonight? Now, Father, you say in your word in John chapter 20 that the sins that we remit on earth shall be remitted in heaven, and the things that we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And Father, tonight you are seeing the attitude of many of your children here, that they are repentant, that they are truly sorry for the things that they have permitted or they have performed. Many are confessing their bitterness, their resentment. Many are asking forgiveness for the wrong attitudes towards people that in a real or imaginary way have harmed them. So now, with the authority that you have invested upon your children, upon your servants, I remit these sins so that you can forgive them and you can not cover them but blot them out with the blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That this will be the pathway to true deliverance. That we can come into a life of freedom. That we will experience the glorious liberty of the sons of God as we come clean and confess and make amendment, if we have to, for the things that we have done. Help us to seek out the people that we have treated wrongfully because of the bitterness of our souls. That we can visit them, that we can call them, that we can ask forgiveness, so that they also will be released from all guilt and from all pain. Holy Spirit, come and apply all the benefits of Calvary, that we might be sanctified and that we might be delivered and we might begin a new and exciting chapter of our lives, living a life that is entirely pleasing to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do a deep work in our lives tonight, tomorrow, day after tomorrow, that we won't leave this place without finding in Jesus Christ the answer that we have searched for so long, so hard, that we'll be free and free indeed from sin and the consequences of our sin, from the power of the enemy, and from anything and everything that might have bound us for all these months and years, that we will come into a new sphere of freedom that we have never thought possible in this life. We ask it in the name of Jesus, by the power of your Spirit. We ask it for the glory of your name and for the extension of your kingdom. Amen and amen and amen. Amen. So brethren, we are not having the deliverance service tonight, but I think a lot of us have got a measure of deliverance just by making this prayer. I'm going to believe that something happened.
Amen.
But Well, that's just the beginning. Let's continue to seek God until we are fully free. Come on, Brother Chris. Amen. Thank you so much.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.